Welcome to Hustle with Purpose, the show where driven entrepreneurs and innovative business owners come together to redefine the grind. Dive deep with us into actionable strategies, hear inspiring success stories, and uncover resources designed to transform your business. I'm your host, Jacinta Gandy. Ready to elevate your entrepreneurial journey? Let's get started. I am absolutely pumped to be here after probably an embarrassing long hiatus. I think it's been truthfully 2.5 years since we did full production and actually did the Hustle with Purpose podcast. And it's actually funny that I'm saying we, because when I first launched my podcast, there was no we, there was just me. And in fact, I remember at that time, I was interviewing podcast managers and I couldn't even afford to hire one. So I just had to like teach myself how to record a podcast, edit a podcast. I mean, I had the graphic design piece down at least, but it was a really, really challenging thing. And I was almost shocked at how much effort it took to produce something that's just an audio file, right? And for anybody who's a fellow podcaster, they know it's a lot of work. So that is the reason why we have had such a long hiatus. My podcast was really instrumental in the beginning in just getting myself out there. As a new business owner, I wanted to hide. And you know, when you're creative, a lot of times you hide behind your work, right? The beautiful logos and the websites. And then I was like, oh, people really want to hear from me. My first iteration of the podcast was really just me interviewing other business owners and just getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, which is a skill that you often learn in business. And restarting the podcast has been challenging because we're booked and busy, which is always phenomenal. And we've sort of fallen into that cliche marketing agency that's like really great at doing everyone else's marketing and content, but our own. In fact, if you follow us on Instagram, then you already know we had like a 100-day hiatus on Instagram. And no, we weren't doing a social media detox. But what basically happened is we were super busy working on all of our clients, brands, websites, social media marketing, pumping out their podcasts. And I'm not going to lie, I had a little bit of perfectionist syndrome that was creeping in. And I was just like, I don't know, I'm not feeling it. I was in a bit of a creative rut, but we're back in action. And I'm here. And although I was reluctant to restart my podcast because starting a podcast is such a labor of love, you're probably wondering, well, then why did you start it? Why did you restart it? And the answer to why I restarted it is really because I have, as of lately, really taken a bit of a step back when it comes to social media. And I think the reason why I've taken such a huge step back is there's just a lot of misinformation and misrepresentation. And I just completely became fatigued with it. Like, I just completely was like, ugh, I can't take it anymore. It's just the same nonsense over and over again. Nobody's being called out. No one is being checked. People are living in this fantasy online entrepreneurial world on the internet. And the most frustrating thing is that a lot of my clients, they are bearing witness to it. And so they work with us. We often set them on the right path, right? Or they find the right path, and then they find us. So things align. But it's really started to piss me off. And I'm not someone who easily gets upset. At least I don't think I am. And so I've really gotten to the point where I'm just like, ugh, I detest this whole online entrepreneurship. I detest it. Meanwhile, there are so many good people like those of you that are listening to this episode that are looking to social media and looking to online platforms to get actionable advice because you truly, truly have a business and you want it to be successful. And so I realized I can't just sit here and be mad and be upset and be frustrated that there's other people giving out bogus information. What I need to do is join the conversation, right? And be a voice. And be a person that is actually giving people real actionable advice, right? And listen, I love the fact that we live in the information age and people can go out and they can learn skills and they can completely transform their skill set and just like show up as pretty much whoever they aspire to be. It's a beautiful thing. But I do think there's this internet culture of like getting the title, getting the name, getting the sales pitch before actually getting the experience, the education, and the credentials. And so I am someone who has the experience, the education, and the credentials. I've had over 15 years in design, digital marketing, and tech. I've been around the block. I've worked for a lot of amazing media companies in NYC. And I've worked with a lot of household brands, really at the infancy of social and doing digital marketing and just everything in between, right? And so I say all of that, not to brag, but I say all of that because it's relevant. And I want you to know that when I give advice or when I give strategies or when I share information, I'm not just regurgitating something someone else told me. I am literally using my years of experience and my expertise to develop these concepts. And so that is my lens that I view the world through. And I'm here because honestly, business owners deserve real actionable advice. They deserve the truth. Like, let's stop with the smoke and mirrors. Let's stop selling people a dream. Let's just stop. Let's just stop, right? And listen, some people aren't going to stop, but if you want an alternative to that, I'm here for you. So that's my really long diatribe on why Hustle with Purpose is back. It is back simply because I have to be the change that I want to see. I can't sit here and complain, oh my gosh, these people are giving bad advice. These people don't know what they're talking about. I can't be here and say that if I'm not going to join the conversation and really share good information. And my hope is that, one, if you're listening, this will provide value to you and this will help you show up as a better and a more successful business owner. And, you know, if you already are, then maybe this will inspire you to embrace, you know, a platform like podcasting as well, because I know there's a lot of incredibly, I meet them every day. There's a lot of incredible entrepreneurs that are doing amazing work. And I just think we need more of those voices in the conversation. Having said all that, I do have something prepared for you to talk about today. And I will admit, you know, doing solo episodes, very intimidating. You know, I think that I'm a pretty good conversationalist. And I would guess that most of the people in my life, yeah, I'm fun. You could take me out for a drink and a glass of wine and we'll have a very spirited conversation. But I have really struggled with this concept of talking to a camera, talking to a microphone. Like, there's no one there to be like, yeah, girl, you're right. Or, you know, so I'm being a little vulnerable right now. This is hard for me, but I really, really, truly, truly believe that it's really important that I get this message out to people that are really, really looking for information. And so I'm just going to say that, and I hope that y'all will grant me some grace as I go on this journey of doing more solo podcast episodes, which is not as easy as it may seem. As I mentioned, I do have a topic that I prepared for y'all today, but what I really, really want to talk about first is just what you can expect from Hustle with Purpose, because we're coming back, we're new, we're a little different. So I've already alluded to the first thing. The first thing is you're going to get a lot more solo episodes. You're going to get a lot more just of me talking to y'all about, hey, this is a tactic. This is a strategy we use at Social Circle, where I'm the chief creative officer and founder. We build businesses, everything from the branding, the website, the digital marketing, the tech, the systems, audio, production. It's literally a one-stop shop. I created a one-stop shop because I was tired of having to work with this freelancer and this company and that company and that company. So what I did, I took my background, which is kind of a mix of everything, and then I assembled a team of experts. But anyway, I will not continue to bore you with all of those details. If y'all want to find out more, our website is in the show notes. You can find out all about our services and how to work with us. But what I do have prepared for you today is I'm going to talk about something that really pushes my buttons. And it's a lot of these myths about entrepreneurship that are often spread on the internet, particularly social media. So I'm not going to cover all of them, because honestly, if I covered all of them, this episode would be 5 hours. But I'm going to cover like the biggest ones. I'm going to attempt to dispel these myths, and I'm just going to show up and tell you like what the real is. And I'll be honest with y'all, it might be hard for some of you to hear. Some of you at the end of this episode, you might change your mind and say, you know what, actually, I don't want to be an entrepreneur. And some of you may say like, well, why are you trying to discourage people from being entrepreneurs? Like, after all, this is a podcast for entrepreneurs. And yes, I'm well aware of that. But I think it's important for people to have a better understanding of what they're getting into. Because if you become a business owner for the wrong reasons, I think you're quickly going to burn out quickly. And I just see so much of entrepreneurship being marketed as the dream. And for a lot of us, it is the dream, right? Like, I'm running my dream business. But running your dream business doesn't always mean things are dreamy. And so that's really what I want to talk to y'all about today. So where to begin? There's so many entrepreneurship myths. I've got to go with probably the biggest one. And I hope when I say this one, a lot of y'all are probably like, oh, I know that's a myth. Hopefully this one is like not as pervasive as at least it used to be. But I think we've all heard this one, right? The myth of being your own boss. There is this widespread belief, and I feel like it's an archaic belief, that when you're an entrepreneur, you get to be your own boss. And I see this coming from a lot of folks that work, you know, jobs or maybe have careers, and they're like, oh, my boss is annoying. I'm working with incompetent people. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. I just want to be my own boss. And it almost makes it seem like you're going to have this level of autonomy and completely control your schedule, you know, your decisions, literally everything. And the reality is, as an entrepreneur, you're not your own boss. I have a service-based business, right? In my world, my clients are now my boss. And so I've gone from maybe having one or two bosses, presumably people, hopefully people with more experience than me, hopefully people that, you know, I can learn from or receive mentorship from, to being in a situation where I literally have, you know, 40 clients at a time and they have varying levels of experience and I'm answering to them. And so sometimes there's demands, there's deadlines, and there's expectations that really dictate my schedule and my priority. And if you don't set up your business correctly, it could actually become a lot worse than having just a boss or normal employer-employee relationship, right? I will say that it's not something I did right out the box, but we have really built the business in a way where we have extremely great clients and we have wonderful relationships. And honestly, this doesn't faze us. I'm like, most of the deadlines are ours. Most of the expectations are ours. You know, we have sort of raised the bar. And so we impose a lot of demands and expectations on ourselves. But I see a lot of people looking at being an entrepreneur and being your own boss as sort of a way to escape that pressure. Because when we think about a boss, you know, we think of that, you know, analogy of someone who's like looking down on you and dictating how you do everything. And hopefully you're not working in an environment like that, because I feel like that's a very outdated way of leading a team. But yeah, like, let it be known that if you are going to be a service-based business, you are absolutely going, your clients will become your boss. And then product-based business owners, y'all might be thinking, well, that's why I don't do services. I can't be involved. But for those of you who owned a product-based business, your bosses might be your manufacturers, your suppliers, even your customers, right? Like, maybe you're getting backlash because you forgot to tell your customers that there was lead in your products. It's not going to mention any names, but I think you guys know who I'm talking about. So that is, you know, another way that you basically have a boss. You have an authority. There may be some folks that will say, yeah, that's why I'm an influencer, right? Or that's why I have a group coaching program or what have you. And to that, I still say you still have a boss. I mean, if you're an influencer, then you're relying on platforms like Instagram and or TikTok and their algorithms to seed out your content. And if they don't like your content, you have to find what's trending and, you know, you have to respect their rules in terms of the content you can produce, right? So you definitely have an authority. You definitely have your boss. Now, as a business owner, and I guess as my own boss, if I want to put that hat on, do I have more control over what my work life looks like? Absolutely. Like, for example, I work from home. There's no employer telling me I need to go into the office 5 days a week, 3 days a week, 1 day a week, whatever. And I'm glad I don't have that, because honestly, I have no desire to go into an office. And it always cracks me up when I hear all these stories about, and this is definitely, we can have a whole nother episode about this, but when I hear all these stories about workplace culture and how people are suffering because people aren't in the office, and I'm like, huh, that's interesting, because I'm running a global organization, like literally from my living room in Brooklyn, you know? And I have had employees leave and then come back to work with us months later and say, you know what? I just miss the culture. I miss the people. I miss the teamwork. And it's like, wait, wait, wait. You got all of that in a remote environment? And yes, they did. So a little bit of a sigh there. But yes, I have control over work environment. If I was the type of person who liked to work in a co-working space, or if I wanted to rent out an office, obviously I can do that. But most days, I prefer the comfort of my home. I have control over hours that I work. There's no one telling me, hey, you got to work 9 to 5. We generally work 9 to 5, but you know, I go to an Orange Theory class around 8 a.m., I get online at 10 a.m., right? That might not work for some employers, right? So I do have a bit of a flexible schedule. Unless I have something really important on my schedule, I often take Fridays as sort of like my CEO day, just kind of think about like strategically things that I want to do with the business and sort of unplug my client mindset for a moment. Or I could be doing things like this, recording a podcast episode. So I do think that, yes, there is an element of being your own boss. There is certainly an element of having more authority. But ultimately, if I don't have clients, I don't have a business. So at the end of the day, the person who signs the paycheck is the person who basically is your boss. And so I really, really think that this is an entrepreneurship myth. And if you want to be an entrepreneur because you think you're going to be your own boss, I would challenge you to think again. Okay. So the next myth that I want to cover is also a big one. In fact, this one was like in competition for the first one, honestly, because I actually feel like I hear this one more than I hear the second. The first one, I think I heard like years ago, but the one that's really, really prolific, even now, even years later, is this freedom mantra, right? I want to start my own business because I want freedom. I feel like this is very, very tethered to the first. It's like myth two, see myth one. Like, what freedom are you actually going to get? I think some people think, again, freedom from authority, see myth one. And then the other freedom I hear is like this work-life balance equation. Now, I'll be honest, I am at a state in my life where I have a really good amount of work-life balance, but I want to let you know that that doesn't come without stress. Last year in my business, I was super, super focused on getting to a certain revenue number. We achieved that number, but at the end of the year, I was burnt out. And quite frankly, I neglected my health. I wasn't working out. I wasn't, you know, even my daily walks, which I've been doing for a while, those had kind of fallen off. I certainly wasn't eating healthy. I was stressed out. I found myself drinking way too much to alleviate the stress. And this year, I really had to take a hard look. And I had to make some really, really tough decisions about the things that I was going to prioritize in my life. And I think oftentimes when people think about work-life balance, what they imagine is that they're going to have a, like this perfect situation, right? It's like, I have the perfect day and every single facet of my day is firing on all cylinders and I'm so happy, you know, or a perfect week or whatever it looks like. And the reality is that I've been able to carve a better work-life balance, which means like, instead of just working 60 hours a week and neglecting my health, I've decided, you know what? No, 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 no. My health is my number one priority. That's been really, really hard. I can do a whole episode on that. But making my health my number one priority, in spite of the fact that I always feel pressure to work on my business, has been a significant change for me. And so while I'm happy that I was able to embrace this new quote unquote work-life balance, I will say that there's a part of me that always feels like, oh, maybe I'm not giving her enough attention, her being the business, right? That's the mistress that keeps me up at night, right? It's like, maybe I'm not feeding it enough. Maybe I'm not giving it enough. And so it's been really, really difficult, but I'm moving into this space of acceptance and of ease. It's like, nope, it's not going to all get done. And that's okay, right? It's like today, I went to Orange Theory, but I did a green workout. For those of you who are familiar with Orange Theory, you know what that means. That was the best way I could show up today. I was tired, you know? And sometimes I don't even know why I'm tired. My body just wants rest. And I have to figure out, like, I have to allow myself to honor that instead of fighting that. You know, I had the perfect day mapped out in terms of what I was going to do when I got home, but things were coming up with my team. Folks wanted to meet with me. And so I made myself available to them. We also should have put that in myth one, being your own boss. Your employees can kind of become your boss too, because ultimately you're responsible for them and their livelihood. You're responsible for training them. Like, so, so much, right? So that's another thing. Like, if you're not into management, leadership, entrepreneurship might not be for you, but nevertheless. So that's what it is. Again, entrepreneurs do have the ability to tailor their work life, right? Like, I have the ability to make decisions like Friday's going to be my CEO day, you know? Not everybody who works a full-time job has that. So yes, there is definitely some privilege in there. But if you are envisioning laptop lifestyle, complete freedom, it's a fantasy. Like, don't even go there. And also this laptop lifestyle, I mean, yes, it is cool. And I actually work with someone on my team who travels like every week. She's in a different country or city, which is incredible for her. But she's not on a beach. You know, whenever I see her, she's not calling for the beach. She's calling from, you know, whatever apartment or Airbnb she is in. And so I think there needs to be a reality there. It's like, yes, you don't have to be location independent. You could experience other locales and, you know, not necessarily miss a beat. But I don't know about y'all, but I love a good beach vacation. And when I'm on the beach, my laptop is like the furthest thing away from me. You know, I don't want a laptop. You know, I want to be totally undigital. Like, give me a paperback book and a sun hat and I'm good. So another one is, there's so many here. I think this is a big one, so I think I have to address it. The whole achieving success overnight. Oh, this one really, really grinds my gears, because at some point, everyone decided that the thing they were selling, insert said thing, could literally be anything, was a thing that was going to give you success overnight. And I think that if that is your approach, or if you think that, like, you're just going to do this thing and be successful, I hate to break it to you. That's likely not going to be the case. Even if you study, like, really successful business owners, like, most of them, like, will tell you that it took them years. It took them try after try. Right? Overnight success is just so few and far between. And of course, there are stories about people going viral, or about people, like, I don't know, right place, right time, something sells out instantly. Like, we hear those stories. But the reason why those stories are shared so often is because they're sensational, you know? Nobody wants to hear the story about the person who tried over and over and over again and finally gave up and decided to just go back to their job, right? Nobody wants to hear that story. That story is not sensational. It's not exciting. It's not a heroic journey, right? But that's the reality. That's what it looks like a lot of times. And if you can't realize that, like, a success to me is like a hurdle, right? It's like I jumped over that hurdle. Now I got to get ready for the next hurdle. But every single hurdle you jump over, it gets bigger. It comes up faster. And so what you really have to work on is improving your agility and your reaction time so that you don't fall over the hurdle, right? And occasionally you will fall, which leads me to my next myth. The myth that failure is not an option. So this comes up so much. And, you know, I was privileged enough to work at Wieden & Kennedy, which is an amazing creative agency. If y'all don't know about them, just like Google them. And, you know, they've done a lot of the groundbreaking work on brands like Nike. And you'll see, like, just they usually have the coolest Super Bowl commercials. So definitely check them out. But their mantra was fail harder. And I'll be honest, at that point in my career, I never quite got that. I'm like, so I'm supposed to fail, you know? And it's a really profound message because it's almost like what they were saying is like, hey, if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough, right? And so I see a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs that, and these are usually the folks that genuinely have a passion, they have a dream, they have something that keeps them up at night that they really want to do, but they let failure hold them back. And the reality is, the question needs to be, what is failure? I mean, I think that's what I really want to understand, because a lot of times when we say, I don't want to fail, we fail to exactly like describe what failure means, right? So for myself, when I started this business 4.5 years ago, there was a point in my life where I thought failure would be going back and getting a full-time job. And there was a point when things got rough financially, right? Like, we reset our clients. We went through a rebuilding phase. Clients weren't coming in. And I didn't like the numbers in my bank account. And so at that point, I was thinking of getting a full-time job. And I was really, really struggling with that decision because I said to myself, does this mean I'm failing? Does this mean I'm giving up? I'm walking away? But then it occurred to me, no, this is just a stop on the journey. I'm just going back to work right now. I don't plan on being there forever, right? And so giving myself that permission to go back into a corporate environment was actually great. One, of course, helped the bank account, but the side benefit was that it actually reinvigorated my love for my business, right? Because I had the opportunity to work at another agency that was like very, like, wonderful place, really smart people. And it really just kind of reinvigorated my desire to restart my business. It could be a healthy reset to go back to work, right? At some point. And I found a way to do both. I found a way. I mean, I was working full time and I was also running my business. Like, so there is a way to do both for sure. But I think, like, before you're scared of failure, it's like, figure out what failure is. Because what I find out 90% of the time, there is no such thing as failure. It's just a setback. And, you know, a setback is just the setup for the comeback, right? So don't worry about that. And again, like I said, with entrepreneurs, very successful entrepreneurs, they will tell you about all the failed businesses behind them. Every successful business owner I know has like a tombstone of businesses behind them, right? Tombstones of businesses behind them that didn't work out. So I don't think that you should reject failure or think that failure is not an option. In fact, you should reframe that and say, failure is the only option. If I'm not failing, I'm not trying hard enough. That's really, really the mindset that you need to take. So the next myth I want to tackle, and this one is really prevalent, and I will admit there is a fair amount of truth to it. One of the biggest myths of entrepreneurship is that it's just too risky. And let's be honest, it is something that is high risk, and that a lot of times, here's this word failure showing up again. You know, we talk about businesses being more likely to fail than to succeed. But the reality is, the reason why a lot of these businesses fail is they gave up, right? So like, you didn't actually fail, you just quit, right? Or you pivoted or whatever, insert whatever word there. Now, while entrepreneurship involves risk, strategic planning, market research, effectively managing finances, like all of these things can significantly mitigate your risk. And there is this notion that you're putting yourself out there. And I will say that a lot of times in the beginning, it feels risky, but the risk you feel is more the fear of the unknown, right? It's almost like the first time you ride a bike without training wheels, right? You've never done it before. So it feels scary. You know, you're like, ooh, I might fall. And then you do fall. And then you get up, you wipe the scrape off your knee, and then you move on. You get back on the bicycle and you keep going. And after a while, you just have muscle memory and you don't even think about the fact that you used to be scared to ride your bike without training wheels. You just show up and do it, right? And so I think that's a lot of what entrepreneurship is. Honestly, in the beginning, it feels very risky, but as it starts to become more and more a part of your DNA, the alternative of not having your own business seems too risky. Giving up seems really risky. And so I think that, you know, this is a narrative that often keeps people out of entrepreneurship. And I will say, like, it's not low stakes, it is high stakes. So if you have a deep aversion to that, then being an entrepreneur may not be the best thing for you. But if you are really committed to being an entrepreneur, then it's really, really important to mitigate the risk of being an entrepreneur as much as you can. And you might be like, okay, mitigate the risk. What do you mean? What I mean is, unfortunately, sometimes I see businesses fail because the business owners just aren't equipped to make great decisions. And it takes a lot of self-awareness to know that. It takes a lot of self-awareness to understand that, like, I am not the expert in this capacity, and this is why I hire other folks to be the expert. And that is how you mitigate risk, truly. But you have to know what you don't know. And I think I've interacted with some entrepreneurs, and their approach is they're scared, so they need to do everything in their business, right? Let's go back to the, you know, it's my baby, I can't let it go. And so what they end up doing is effectively smothering their business, because you cannot show up and be good at every single thing. And when it comes to having strategic advice and direction in your business, there's a lot of times where you may not be the best equipped person to do that, right? But awareness is key. And I say awareness is key because, like, a lot of people will say, I'm equipped. Are you? You know what I mean? And some are. Some absolutely are. Some people, you know, I call it, and I'm lucky enough to have it, we have great business intuition. Most decisions I can get through really, really well. But even for me, there are some things, there are some areas of my business I will not touch. I need to bring in experts because I know that is not my zone of genius. And I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that.
Okay.
So the next myth, this is an interesting one because the myth is just about money, period. It's about money. I was trying to figure out how to frame this one because I've heard myths on both sides. I've heard this myth of, I started my business with $1,000 and next thing you know, I was a millionaire. Like, I've heard that myth, right? And yes, are there stories like that? Yes, there are stories like that. But again, sensational stories, which is why we hear them, right? Because it's an exception to the rule. It's not the rule. The other side that I've heard is like, people are going to hate me for this one, but it's like the universe wants you to invest, you know, $40,000 in this mastermind. This is telling the universe that you're serious. And then now you're going to somehow get that back. Little cringe. That's beyond. That's BS. Will it take money? Yes. Will you be uncomfortable with the amount of money that it takes, particularly in the beginning when you are building your business? Yes. But if you make very smart decisions in the people that you hire, that investment will come back tenfold. And that's the piece that is really, really, really important. And in the beginning, particularly when entrepreneurs are kind of like in that sweet spot. I mean, it's so hard. Like when you're in that first year of business, sometimes people will say to me, I've been doing it for a year. I've been doing it for 2 years. And I just kind of say, okay, that's cute. You know what I mean? Because it's nothing. That's literally nothing. I always say my analogy is like, I compare it to a child. Like, here we go with the child analogy again. It goes like, would you expect a two-year-old to walk and talk and take care of you? No. Well, then why are you expecting a two-year-old business to do that, right? Unless you're bankrolled by someone, it's not going to happen. You're literally building a thing. It is an infant. It will take time. But what I will say is a three-year-old walks. They start talking. Three-and-a-half-year-old even starts repeating some of the things you said around the house. Four-year-old, they have their whole, they have personality, right? And so if you can make it through those early years, if you have the discipline and the stick-with-itness, then you can be very, very successful on the other side. And I say this from experience in my own business, and I say this in experience from other business owners that I've worked with. And at the beginning, it's hard, you know, particularly, you know, the early stages when you're solo, right? You're putting all this energy and enthusiasm into something, but it ain't giving you the love back, right? And that's really challenging. That's really discouraging. And so you might think, oh, I should give up. I should stop. But it's kind of like you haven't hit that tipping point yet where the tide starts to change. And so I've seen so many business owners create these arbitrary deadlines. They're like, I'm going to give it a year. If it doesn't work in a year, I'm done. And it's like, oh my God, you just literally spent a year building an incredible foundation for your business. And now you're walking away. You're literally walking away. And I feel like the best analogy, I won't repeat it because I don't want to botch it up. I'll try to find it and use it in the show notes. But it's the story of the bamboo and how, you know, the bamboo is growing roots underneath the ground, but to you, it looks like the plant isn't growing at all. And then all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, it just starts growing at this really rapid rate. And that really, really is the best analogy. for entrepreneurship. Like, that's what a new business looks like. In the beginning, it's this thing that you are feeding and putting attention and time into, and you're just like, I don't see anything. What's happening? And then all of a sudden, it's there. It emerges. It starts to grow. It starts to get traction. And you're like, oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe this. Like, I went from having no clients to being like saying no to clients because I just want to say no to clients, you know? And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. But it takes time to get there. And there's no prescribed time, by the way. Like, I can't tell you, oh, in a year. I mean, I know I kind of gave you timelines, but for everyone, it's different because the amount of effort and work that people put into their business is different. And so that's really, really, really important to understand. Okay, y'all. This episode is getting a little long. So I'm going to try to wrap it up soon. The next big myth, I mean, this one, it's a tough one. It's also kind of a money related one, but I think there's a lot. I know there is a lot of chatter on the internet about what being a successful business owner means, you know, I think, you know, 4.5 years ago when I started my business, I remember I was in a room of women entrepreneurs and they asked women how much they wanted to make in their business. I think they asked us to write it on a piece of paper. I can't remember. But the majority of the women in that room gave very modest numbers. They were like, oh, 50K would be nice. Some people said 25K, some people said, I don't know, 80, I think 100K was rare. I think I was in the upper echelon, but I live in New York. 100K in New York is like $5, honestly. It's so bad here. But I was a little shocked by that. And the woman who was running, the session, she was like, women, why not say 100K? Why not say 1 million? Like, you don't have to be bound to this number. And I think the women in the room were just speaking to what felt doable and what felt achievable. So to that, I say fail harder. Maybe you need to up the barometer a little bit. But what I've watched unfold in internet culture is this, you need to be a six-figure business owner. Then it was a multi-six. Now today it's a seven-figure. I guess next year it's going to be billion, right? You need to be a billion-dollar business owner. And if you take the time to look at statistics, you will find that the vast majority of not just women-owned businesses, small businesses, do not hit that milestone. And I will add to that, hitting that milestone might not mean success, right? And so I think that's a big problem. And I think there's a lot of, again, misinformation and misrepresentation. There's people telling you I earned six figures or I made seven figures. But what they're not telling you is, while yes, they made seven figures, they spent $850,000 on Facebook ads. No cap. Like, these are the types of things that are actually happening. There's a big difference between hitting a number and actually building a business that you enjoy working in, that is sustainable, that does good. I mean, I'm all for us collectively demanding more, but I think that people really need to think about that. Because to me, it's just another version of shiny object syndrome. I am privileged to be a mentor
We NYC's program that's for women entrepreneurs. And I see a lot of young women entrepreneurs, and they're like, oh, I need to make $1 million. And I'm like, no, you don't need to. I mean, yes, your objective should be to make $1 million. But for you to believe or for you to think that that is a barometer of success is just wrong. It's wrong. A little earlier, I talked about how last year, I'm not going to lie, I was chasing a number. And at the end of the year, like, I was burnt out. You know, some of the folks on my team were burnt out. And I'm like, if this is what this number means, I don't really care. You know, I don't really care. And by the way, why, like, yeah, of course, I'm never going to say money is a bad thing, because it's not. I love money. I appreciate money and the role and the use and the purpose that it serves in our society. But guess what? If I'm not okay, if my well-being is not okay, this money doesn't matter. And I think that it's really, really important that when you start to think about why you want to be a business owner and what you want to achieve, you really start to go beyond a lot of these arbitrary numbers, arbitrary mottos that truthfully society imposes on you. I think it's really, really important to have an understanding of why you want to be an entrepreneur that comes from a deep place and truly resonates and connects with you from every facet of your being, because that is what's going to ultimately propel you to continue to show up every day and give it your all. That's literally what is going to keep you there. No number is going to keep you there. No myth, no other person's fantasy dream that they sold you. It's literally you staying true to why your business is so important to you, why that dream matters, why it fuels you, why it keeps you up at night, why it's calling you. Those are the things that are going to keep you here for the long haul. And being emotionally connected to your business, it's incredibly important. It's incredibly important. When I say emotionally connected, I don't mean that you're tying your self-worth to your business, because that we should have a podcast episode about that. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you need to really be connected to why you have this business. Everyone needs a purpose, you know? And that's why this show is aptly called Hustle with Purpose. Because if you're just spinning plates, if you're just doing things, and you have some vague reasoning or some fantasy depiction, it's not going to be great. And I think the reason that people say six figures, $1 million, listen, I just said I appreciate money, but like, it's just an object like everything else. It's paper that we ascribed a monetary value to. That is what it is. Okay. And if you believe that $1 million all of a sudden equals happiness, all of a sudden equals fulfillment, then I would advise you to reference a work that was done by the great, notorious B.I.G. there are also some guest appearances on that track. I can't play it because of copyright infringement, but the song is Mo Money, Mo Problems. Dallas is your ticket to happiness. I would encourage you to go back in history and listen to that song because it really is true. You need to paint a much more vivid picture of what happiness looks like if entrepreneurship is the vehicle from what you want to chase that. And that's why I applaud people who show up authentically and really, really share like the challenges and, you know, the stuff that's really, really hard about being an entrepreneur. And when you move with impact, it's going to create a lot of reverberations. So you just really, really need to be aware of that. So that's it. I know that this was a bit of a lengthy episode. I am so curious to hear how y'all liked this solo episode. I hope it was important. I hope it was encouraging. If it discouraged you from being an entrepreneur, I'm sorry, boo. Just tell you the truth. I gotta tell you what life over here actually looks and feels like. If it stressed you out, you know, if you need to be talked off a ledge, like I'm here for you. Like I'm your girl. Like you guys can always message me on Instagram. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. Go to my website, send us an email. I love meeting and chatting with folks. So, you know, I would love to just spend 15 minutes being like, yeah, you're doing good, you know, or maybe you should pivot, you know, I'll keep it honest with you. But yeah, that's it. Thank you so very much for tuning in to this episode of Hustle with Purpose. And I hope to be in your ears.
Thank you for tuning in to Hustle with Purpose. If today's stories and strategies inspired you, please leave us a review and share the podcast with fellow entrepreneurs. Want more resources and insights? Head to socialcircleinc.com and let's continue the journey together. Until next time, keep hustling with purpose.